Tell me, D. What exactly are you looking for?
I've always been drawn to strong men. Men who know what they want and aren't afraid to take control. But also aren't afraid of a woman's strength and accepts her for who she truly is.
I like that. But do you think that you can have a romantic partner?
Let's get through the first date first.
Okay. Fair enough.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's your girl, Dee Dee Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen, and I'm back with episode 40 of the Core Queen podcast, and I have a special episode today because my birthday is Monday, so y'all be 21. No. So this is a special episode, y'all. I have my girl, my lifelong friend, Lashay Johnson, is going to interview me today, so y'all buckle up, get your drink, get your popcorn ready. We about to have a show. Welcome, Shay.
Welcome. Well, thank you. Thank you for the welcome. Listen, I can't even believe that this is what you want to do and you want to get interviewed, but I think it's great. And I am absolutely honored that you would ask me to interview you. Now, y'all, I am not a host, so y'all bear with me. This is my first time, so I'm just going to be me. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get it started because we got a lot to talk about.
Oh, Lord. So, I got my tissue, y'all. So if I start crying, y'all don't look.
So you do every week, we watch you interview so many people from different industries, different entrepreneurs, just different people that you know, and you dive into their background, into their life, into their career, and ask them tons of questions. So today, we want to do that with you.
Okay.
So we're going to dive into you and who Dee Dee is. Who DeWanda is.
Oh, not my government.
Yes, that's who we're gonna dive into, the real you behind the scenes, behind the microphone, at home. We're gonna talk about what makes you you, because I'm sure your followers will love to learn who you are off the screen or off the phone, should I say, off of social media. All right, so let's talk about your childhood and your upbringing. I want to know about where you were born, where you're from, what was your child life like? Siblings, do you have any? What number sibling are you? And then let's talk about your parents.
Okay. Well, I am from Bristol, Pennsylvania, Bucks County, stand up. That's where I'm from, right outside of Philadelphia. Born and raised. I have lots of siblings. From my mom, I have 4 siblings. I have 3 sisters and 1 brother. From my dad, I have 7 siblings. 4 brothers and 2 sisters. It's 8 of us. My dad and my mom probably should have never been together, but thank God they were. He was way older than my mom. My dad passed away in 2017. He was 70 something years old. My mother is still alive and kicking, looking as good as she look. my upbringing was really not good. I was in foster care for, part of my childhood, me and my older sister, McCoyla, shout out to my sister. My mother was addicted to drugs for a large majority of my life. I believe she got clean when I was around 11. Mm-hmm. So me and my sister was mainly raised by my grandmom and foster care.
So I don't want to interrupt you, but how long were you in foster care? In being in foster care, did you guys bounce from house to house? Did you have just one foster parent?
From what I remember, I only had one set of foster parents. I can't remember how long we were there because I was small, but I do remember being there. Mm-hmm. But our foster parents were really active in our lives even after we were out of foster care. So we would go visit them when they moved to Florida, like every summer. So we were there. And that gets a little deep, so I won't go that deep yet. But my experience was good.
Okay.
But I have to thank my sister for that, because she protected me from a lot of stuff while we were in foster care. So, and it's things that I didn't find out until I was an adult. So my experience is totally different than hers. And yeah, she just told me a few years ago what was going on that I didn't know. But yeah, we had one foster home. And then my grandma finally came and got us, and we moved with my grandma until my mom got off of drugs and we moved with her. And that was just a mess.
Listen, shout out to big sisters and older siblings.
Yeah.
I happen to be the oldest, and we protect our younger siblings from a lot of things.
Yeah.
So definitely shout out to Maquella for making sure that you was good.
Yep.
And taking the brunt of whatever was going on.
Yeah.
So that you would be okay.
Yep. And my dad, growing up, I didn't know him. Everybody in Bristol knew my dad because he was like a legend. Everybody would tell me I looked like him and they would brag about him, but I didn't know him. I didn't meet him until I came home from basic training. I was 19 years old.
Wow.
So yeah, I didn't meet him until then.
What was that like? The meeting, the first meeting, how did that even happen?
If anybody's familiar with where I'm from, it's called Venice Ashby, but we call it the Terrace. Mm-hmm. And in the Terrace, we have a store. So I was going to the store. I was getting some candy or whatever. I was getting, walking to go see my mom. And this lady, I think her name was Miss Darlene. She was screaming across the field to me like, Dee Dee. Like, I don't talk to this lady. What's she calling me for? And she's like, hold up. Somebody want to meet you. So this guy comes walking across the street and I'm like, hi. He was like, I'm your dad. And I'm like, hi. Okay.
Just like that.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. He's like, where your mom at? Probably at the house. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to walk with you over there. I said, I don't think that's a good idea. You know my mom. Like, don't come to her house. So
unannounced.
Yeah. So we go over there. I'm like, she's not going to open the door. So we go over there. I'm knocking on the door. She look out the window. She closed the blind and went back in. She won't open it for me. I'm like, well, I'm out here. Like, yeah, so she wouldn't.
What?
Nope. So it was cool, though, to meet him and finally see what he looked like. Because I had no clue. I had no pictures, nothing. I never knew what he looked like.
Did you feel like you looked just like him?
Yeah, I think so. I think I look like both of them mixed together. But I always, for some reason, thought he was taller.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I just felt like he was taller. And that night we went out to the Elks. He was in there and I was only 19. So he was like, you can't drink. I'm like, you don't know how old I am. He's like, your birthday is such and such. I'm like, well, why you ain't never send me nothing if you know my birthday? What the hell?
So did he say anything like, I've been keeping tabs on you, or I've watched you, or did you find out that he actually knew stuff about you?
I found out that he knew everything about me. I don't think we ever had like a specific conversation about him watching me. I don't know if people were telling him about mm-hmm. me, because I was a huge athlete in Bristol. So he knew everything. He knew everything.
Wow. So what did that relationship develop into? If it developed into anything, like what became of it? How were you guys up until he left this earth?
It was sporadic. If somebody saw him, like if I'd be on the phone with my grandma, she would put him on the phone with me. I would talk to him. If I was home, I saw him walking or something, I'd pick him up and take him wherever he needed to go. It was weird because I thought I was his baby. And then I found out I had a little sister.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to my little sister, Danielle. Yeah, she lived in South Carolina too. So when he just kept saying, you got a sister and she looked just like you. Y'all look like twins. And I'm like, where did this come from? I didn't know I had a sister. And so I finally met her when I came to South Carolina to visit one of my brothers. And I was like, whoa, we do look a lot alike.
Wow.
So up until he passed away, I would go visit him like every other month. I was still in the military and I would go feed him in the hospital, make sure he was good. And every time he got in, I would go check on him until he passed away.
It's crazy because isn't it amazing how as a child, we still will do for mm-hmm. parents who weren't even there for us or yeah. who didn't necessarily do right by us. But yeah. it's still that connection and that yearning to want to still be connected to your parent, yeah. even if they weren't there.
And I think it was okay in my spirit because he didn't take care of any of them.
Wait, so you didn't feel left out? It's not like he was a good dad to the other siblings.
He didn't take care of none of us. So I was like, oh, okay, it's just who he is.
Okay, listen, you have to accept people for who they are.
Yep.
who they are. You can decide to accept it and build something with that, or you can decide to accept it and say, I don't want nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
But I'm glad that you were able to develop something with him.
Yeah. Me
with
too.
Him before he
got to meet my son. So that was cool. He loved my son. He called him the president. He said he's going to be something. He's like, his personality was so big. So he would come to my grandma's house and sit in the living room and play with my son. So I thought that was cool.
That's beautiful. It is.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So let's talk about, you said you are a huge athlete growing up in Bristol. Mm-hmm. I know that you were really big and known for track and field. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about track. Let's talk about sports in general and what they meant to you, or what they still mean to you, and how that shaped who you are.
Right. So it took me a long time to even talk about track because, and I'm going to try not to cry. I'm not going to cry. It was very huge in shaping who I am. Like, that was my outlet. That was my refuge. That was all I knew. I ran all year round. I hated being at home with my mom. I hated it. She just wasn't a nice mom. Mm-hmm. So being able to run, and Coach Saunders, he believed in me, Coach Brown. So much so that when I was in seventh grade, they came to the middle school to get me to run with the high school. And if anybody's familiar with the Penn Relays, that's like the biggest track meet in the world. So that's like everybody in the world comes to that track meet. So they came to get me to run their first leg of their 4x1 relay.
Wow.
With their 12th graders. So we won. We got gold medal.
And that was seventh grade for you.
I was 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, because Mr. Saunders had to go to my mom to get her permission for me to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out there looking like Venus and Serena with the beads in my hair and shit, looking crazy. But they saw something in me that I didn't really know. I was fast. I didn't know I was that fast. And like, just running all year round. I still hold the 100 meter hurdle record from my high school. I just got inducted to the Hall of Fame. But the one thing about track that makes it kind of hard for me to talk about is because I literally got accepted to got scholarship, what you would call it, not acceptance, offers, there you go, from every Division I college in the United States to run track.
Wow.
And I had these big trash bags full of the letters.
Wow.
And I didn't have anybody to help me, so I'd be going through them trying to figure out where to go, and I really wanted to go to LSU. That's why I'm an LSU fan. For people who don't know why I'm an LSU fan, that's why. So that was like the first one I got, because I was like, I really want to go to LSU. But I got pregnant my senior year in high school. So I was actually in 12th grade defending my record for state champion in the 100 meter hurdles. Never in my career had I ever false started, ever. And in high school back then, you false start, you disqualified. I'm in the final heat of the race and I false started. I was 3 months pregnant with my daughter.
You didn't know?
No, I did.
Is that when you found out you was pregnant?
I knew I was pregnant.
Wow.
Yep. I false started. My coach smoked like a whole pack of cigarettes back to back. And I probably never told this part of the story. And I probably shouldn't say this shit, but I said, I'm going to be transparent. So my coach was willing to pay for me to get an abortion so that I wouldn't lose any of my...
that good.
Yeah, because he did not want to see me become a statistic. And he was just like, I'll take you, I'll pay for it, like whatever. Wow. And yeah, it was, but thank God I got my daughter.
Right.
I got my daughter. Right. So,
wow.
Yeah. But that haunted me for a long time, because I didn't have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. That's all I knew was track. I just wanted to run. So yeah, that was tough.
It is. I can't imagine because I've definitely been there. Literally why I didn't go away to college. Ended up pregnant senior year.
Yep.
Missed out on scholarships, had so many offers. So I understand. Yeah. So I feel like that's a good segue into what I actually wanted to talk about next, because I'm assuming that because you ended up pregnant, because you didn't accept any of the offers, is that why you ended up going into the military?
No, I ended up going to the military because I started dating my ex-husband and his mom. Shout out to Gail Scriven. I was going to call her by her maiden name, Scriven. Shout out to her all day. she was very adamant about us going to the military. She was not taking no for an answer. She was like, y'all not staying here. Y'all getting out of here. So she drove us to the Army recruiter's office. And I'm like, I'm not going to no Army. This lady crazy. I'm not going. I'm not going. So we went and we took the ASVAB. That's the test you got to take to get in the military with the Army. And my ex-husband wasn't that smart. Sorry, Jamar.
Yo.
So he had to get some tutoring, but we went to the, I scored high enough to go to the Air Force. So I was like, well, I want to go over there. I don't know about this Army stuff. So we both go over to the Air Force side. He got tutoring. He finally scored high, like he needed to score. And you can't join the military as a single parent. I had to figure out how I'm going to join because
I got a baby.
And I have to have her dad's consent for me to join. So he has to, I have to sign my custody over and he got to sign it over too. I couldn't go over because he wouldn't sign the papers. It took like another almost a year for him to finally sign the papers and sign it over to my mom so that I can join. It was torture. He was just being an asshole. So when I joined, I was literally just following my ex-husband. I was like, I'm going where he going. He had been in 6 months before me. So I'm going to go. And the military was like, no, you going to North Dakota.
Oh,
sir, ma'am, I'm not going to North Dakota. I was like, where is that on the map?
North Dakota.
And my ex-husband was in Georgia.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay. That's how we ended up getting married. So he came to San Antonio, basic training. We got married so that I can go to Georgia with him. I should have took my ass to North Dakota. Okay? I should have went to North Dakota. God be knowing what he's doing.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does, but we be doing our own thing.
Listen.
I
don't know how I made it at Georgia.
Listen. So, okay. So you ended up, you don't want to go to North Dakota. So y'all get married. So that way you can go to Georgia because that's where your husband is.
Mm.
So you end up in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about, I want to dive into, because how old were you at this time?
19.
All right. So I want to dive into being married at 19. I just don't want to dive into it right this second.
Jeez, okay.
I really want to talk about how the military was for you.
When I first joined the military, it was hard because I'm a girl from Bristol who is very strong-willed, stubborn. I ain't listening to nobody. I'm rolling my neck. I'm just, oh man, tough to deal with. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what y'all talking about. Write me up. Send me home. Like I'm not conforming like they want me to conform. Right. I'm getting written up all the time. I'm getting into fights. It's just terrible. I was just a mess. But I think back then we had senior leaders who understood little black girls like me.
Mm.
And my first supervisor, her name was Nancy Ingram. She was a black lady and she took me under her wing. And she molded me to make sure, like, okay, listen, you got a little girl you got to take care of. We got to fix this. So she definitely helped me out. But there was just, it's a male dominant industry. Mm. So they don't care that I got a child. They don't care that I don't know nobody here that can help me keep my baby. So the hours I was working was crazy. It was just torture. It was torture. And having a husband didn't help much because he was doing what he was doing. And yeah, it wasn't fun. I hated it. I hated it. Yeah. Would not recommend pretty ghetto.
Now you stayed 20 years. So let's talk about you hated it. When did that feeling ever change or transition into it at least being bearable because you stayed 20 years?
It was when I got stationed in Turkey. Cause that was gonna be it. I was like, this is my last
assignment.
How many
years in was this?
This was, let me see, I joined in 98. I was in Turkey in 2001.
Okay.
So probably around 2002, like my first year in Turkey, I was like, I'm done with this. I'm getting out. And then I had another black supervisor, female, and she was like, what you gonna do? You got a daughter. You already in it now. Like, figure it out. Like, there's no need. Like, she was like, if it was just you, cool. But you got a baby to take care of. So you got to think about that. And I had some really shitty supervisors along the way when I was in Turkey that really made me want to just quit. But I think once they told me I could pick where I wanted to go, and I put my list together where I wanted to go, and they gave me one I picked. It wasn't the one I didn't think I was going to get. So, yeah, they sent me to Florida. They sent me to Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And I wasn't too mad. I was like, okay, I can probably deal with that. When I got there, I loved it. I was having fun. I met people that I liked. The job that I had was cool because I changed jobs.
I was about to ask you also, what was your career in the Air Force?
So my very first career was what they call services. So that's fitness, restaurant, hotel, mortuary.
Mortuary. How is that thrown in the service?
Because the food is killing has people? Ice and the morgues need ice. So they would put, and that's really what the.
That's the correlation?
That's literally the correlation, because if we're in war, you got the food service and you got the dead people. Y'all gotta be close together to figure some shit out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
Wow. But,
then I retrained into what is now IT, but it didn't start out as IT. It started out as admin. And then that career field morphed into you can go to the admin way or you can go to computer way.
Gotcha.
And I was like, I'm going to computer way. So yeah, the job has so much to do with it. The hours were normal because in services, you talking about the gym, food, that those are around the clock services. So you got to work whatever hours they say work. So I'm working overnight and I got a baby.
Right.
So now I go to this computer side and I'm working a regular shift. I can get her daycare, pick her up. It's no problems. Like, so my life became a lot more easy to navigate. So yeah, that's the shift.
Okay.
The job changing.
Okay. And that was in Florida.
Yeah.
So how long were you there in Florida?
I was in Fort Walton Beach for 4 years. Bought my first house there, 4 years. Yeah.
Okay. And from there, because you still stayed in, where'd you go from Florida?
Oh God, what was after Florida? I think it was Korea. Yeah, I went to Korea. I loved it.
Did you?
Oh my God.
Did you?
How every long overseas were you assignment was amazing. Korea was a year, and it was the best time. I can't tell y'all them stories.
What was your favorite food in Korea?
I didn't eat Korean food. I didn't like their food. They had Thai restaurants over there, though. Mm-hmm. Their Thai food was good. Yeah, Thai food was good.
How easily did you pick up on the language? Did you never? You never did?
Well, because, you know, when you're in the military and you're overseas, you have your own little city. So the base is like your own. We go off base to do certain stuff, but in Korea, we got curfews. So you really had
base most of the time.
Yeah, but I had a boo, too, so I stayed in his apartment.
I cannot.
He had a car. He was higher ranking, so yeah.
I know that's right. So with being in the military, being in there for 20 years, I also want to talk about what made you retire. But before you tell me about retiring, were there any, I'm sure there were some, lifelong relationships you've made, like friendships or people? It's amazing how you still remember your first boss's name. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, what, almost 30 years ago?
Yeah.
So obviously that's something that's embedded in you. That's a relationship that meant a lot to you. Any relationships or people that you met that just mean the world to you still?
Yeah. First, of course, my best friend, Erica Jackson.
She's my
son's godmom. She's amazing. I met her. She's my roommate in Korea. She's amazing. I didn't meet her for like the first 3 or 4 months I was there and we were roommates. I didn't talk to her or nothing, but yeah, now we can't separate. I'll see her Saturday. My homegirl, Tywanda Wilson, she'll be there Saturday too for my event. Me and her real close. We were stationed in Florida, Fort Walton Beach. My homegirl, April Dunham and April Hicks, both of them amazing women. Libby, like I got, like most of my friends are military. Mm-hmm. Like in the military, that's our family. Like that's our sisterhood, brotherhood. Like we never not communicate with each other. We're always still connected. So. It's a life, like a lifelong relationship, because especially when you're overseas, that's all you got. I can't go home. I can't visit like that. So we literally form our own little fraternity and sororities over there.
I love it. Beautiful. So let's talk about your choice to retire. Mm. Why? I mean, granted, 20 years, you've earned every right to retire, but why not stay longer? Because you are still young. Mm. Why not stay?
I was stationed in Tampa, Florida, in a joint unit, meaning every branch of the service is there, but it was ran by the Army.
Okay.
Mm-mm. They are horrible. I'm sorry. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. The way that their culture is so different than the Air Force. The Air Force is run like a Fortune 500 company. The Army is ran like the Army. So they are very brash. They're really, they don't trust their soldiers. We're airmen, they're soldiers. They don't trust them like the Air Force does, because the Air Force really trains you to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. They train, like our younger airmen, we train them to be very proficient in their career, young. The Army, they just don't trust them like that. I don't know why, but they don't. And it's like, they feel like they got to babysit you all the time. So I was like, I can't do this. I got to go. This is
So you get stationed much. There in Tampa. So it's every branch there. So we're talking Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. Mm-hmm. Everybody's there. It's ran by the Army. And now you're being micromanaged. Because yep. That's pretty much what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Wow. After you spent your whole career in the Air Force, where you have the freedom to be an adult and do your job like you're supposed to. And now I have to sit here and be micromanaged by people that I really don't even report to because I'm in the Air Force.
Yeah, so, it was
okay.
Yeah, it was tough. And I because normally, like, because I was E7 when I retired, I was eligible to test for the second time for E8. I declined the test, and they were like, "Oh my God, you're not going to no, I'm retiring. I'm out of here. I'm not doing this shit no more." And then I did the math too. Like, I have a lot of credentials, so I would have lost a lot of money staying in the military. A lot of money.
Okay.
So it just didn't even make financial sense to stay in.
Okay. Okay. So when you look back now on all the time you spent there, how do you feel regarding the military? Would you, if you could go back to being 19, would you do it all over again?
If all circumstances were the same, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. The military is the cheat code of life. Like, it really sets you up to go way further than you could on your own.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Something for y'all to listen to. Yeah. If you don't want to go to college, if you really can't figure out what you want to do with your life, with your career, but you want to get ahead, the military is always a great option.
And I got plenty of degrees with no debt.
Girl. I don't even want to get into student loans and school debt.
Yeah.
At all. So let's talk about being 19, being in the military, and being married. Mm. Not only being married, but having a child. 19 years old in the military, married, then left my house, my family, everything that I know to be in Georgia with my husband, with my child.
Child.
How was that? Because we need to dive into this. I got married young, at 23. I can't imagine having been married at 19.
Right. Oh God. Well, first of all, I was with my ex-husband since I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
We got married when I was 19. Divorced at 20.
Divorced at 20.
It was horrible. I had no clue what a wife looked like, how to do it, what I was like. I was not ready to be a wife at all. Like, I had no guidance. I was an awful wife.
Listen,
like, I was horrible. I didn't know what to do. I was very, I didn't until now, but now I understand because I had anxiety and I didn't know I had anxiety.
Okay.
So there were certain things, and maybe he caused the shit. I don't know, but it was a lot of things that was happening that I couldn't figure out how to control. I couldn't figure out how to handle it because I was so sensitive.
Mm.
I had no control over my emotions at all. But he was, I love you to death.
You watching this?
You know I love you. And that's my boy. That's like my brother now. We ain't nothing like that. He married. I love his wife, Robin. Shout out to Robin. But he was a horrible husband. He was very abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Very abusive. And I don't mean, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, but he was a kid too.
That's what I was about to say.
So like, he didn't know what he was doing either. And I just didn't understand how like I could, like, you could tell me you love me and then do these things to me. So it was a lot of stuff that I just didn't get. I didn't understand it. My supervisor, Nancy, and her husband wanted to kill him several times for putting his hands on me. And you know, I probably put my hands on his ass too. Who knows? Just doing shit we ain't no business doing. Mm-hmm. But being 19, he was 20, and being married is absolutely, who told us to do that? Who told us to do that? That was dumb.
Nobody.
It was dumb. It was dumb. And the crazy part about it, I got in a lot of trouble behind him. That's why I said she took my ass to North Dakota. Just the fighting and him having women at my house and me coming home. We having no contact orders. Like, the first sergeant, the commander coming to our house. Like, it was bad.
Oh, my God.
It was really bad. So, but it was a lot of disrespect happening. And that's probably why I am the way I am about relationships. Cause I'm just like, I'm not doing that again. I'm not, I can't imagine like taking something that serious and going through something like that again. I don't know. I don't know if I ever heal from that, because I really trusted him, like really trusted him, because he treated me so well before we got married.
Yeah, when y'all was at home and his mama was around.
Yeah, so I'm just like he was the first guy to take me like to fancy restaurants and show me how to like eat certain ways and certain foods and stuff. Like he showed me a lot of things, opened me up to a lot of things. And then when we got to the Air Force, it was like, who are you? Like, who was this guy?
A kid that's seeing a whole new world just like you.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah.
He needed to learn. He needed to grow. So, and you kind of went into what my next question was going to be. With going through that and having that tumultuous relationship, how did you, after that, learn, if you have, how to navigate into a healthy relationship?
Woo! I think I just learned that.
I just learned that. And we're talking about like 25 years later.
Yeah, because I've met some amazing guys. Like, I have been so fortunate to run into some really good guys, guys that like really treat me well, who really respect me, who really just value me. But then I ran into some that wasn't shit.
Well, oh my God. Haven't we all?
And I think, to be honest with you, the one or two that weren't shit were the ones that taught me the most about myself. And it taught me that, number one, I was functioning so low. So low that they could feel it. They could see it. They could sense it. So I was attracting them. And I was just allowing things to happen that I shouldn't allow to happen. I don't blame anybody for anything. People are going to be who they're going to be. They're going to do what they want to do. And they're going to treat you how you allow them to. So, but I feel like now I've gone through so many different transitions when it comes to relationships. And one of the biggest things is transitioning out of the military. That's a huge transition that people really don't talk about a lot. And it's almost like getting out of jail. I've been institutionalized my entire life. I know this one thing. I know this one language. I know this one set of people that I'm around all the time, and we're all alike. Now I have to come and integrate with people that know nothing about the life I just lived. And I don't know how to talk to them like that. So they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm just like having a regular kind of conversation. And I'm like being called out on certain things. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was weird. Like, I didn't know that was crazy.
That's like being in Korea all over again and trying to talk to people.
Yeah. So going through a relationship like that, where as a woman who wasn't raised with a dad, I don't understand you correcting me. I feel like you're attacking me. I feel like you hate me. I feel like you don't like me, because I've never had anybody do this to me. Right. So that was the unhealthy part of me in every relationship, was being combative and not understanding, why would you be telling, like, why are you correcting me? I ain't never had no man correct me before.
Right. So you don't even know how to take that.
No.
You don't know how to respond to it or even look at it as constructive criticism or something positive.
It's,
you're attacking me.
Yeah. Because in the past, like, guys would just, they would just let me do what I wanted to do. I mean, they still treated me good. So I'm like, I ain't got to, man, whatever. I ain't got to do that. And then you meet somebody and they're like, yo, what is wrong with you?
Girl, you got issues.
Like, what I do? Like, and I'm like, damn, that was kind of messed up. Yeah, that was. But yeah, I think one of my biggest lessons was, and I think I'll always regret this. He might be watching. I'm not going to say his name. I think I always regret that I had one of the most amazing men ever. This guy treated me like royalty. I didn't want for anything at all. Like anything. He really took care of me. And I just wasn't healed enough to even accept it.
Listen, that definitely happens. And it's funny you said that, because one of my questions was going to be to tell me about your best relationship. And have you ever fumbled a good one?
I fumbled.
They constantly, especially on social media, everyone always wants to talk about a guy fumbling a woman all the time. They fumbled.
Yeah.
But there are times when we as women, we definitely fumble.
Yeah.
So was that your fumble?
Yeah. And I don't know if it was a fumble. I probably could still get him down. But yeah. But no, I didn't understand how manipulative I was being. I didn't realize in my mind, oh, well, I told him this. Yeah, but I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. So in his mind, he's like, oh, I still got a chance. I still, and I really, 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 really hurt this guy. And I apologized to him several times before, and he's accepted the apology. Like, we talk still. He's really a good friend. Like, if I need anything, he's there for me. If he needs something from me, I'm there for him too. But I really did treat him bad, and he didn't deserve it at all. And my family loved him too. They love that dude. They loved him. And I was being shallow. I was being, I just was being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I was being ridiculous. I was.
But it takes growth to realize, dang, I shouldn't have did that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have did that. Yeah. And just, it's the one thing you said about not being healed.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not healed and we're still operating in our trauma,
yeah,
we don't realize that. We don't realize that we're operating in our trauma. And if you do not heal, you will bleed on people who did not cut you.
Yep.
And I feel that it's safe to say that we've all done it.
Yeah.
Because it happened.
Yeah.
Everybody does it. And that feeling afterward of, I didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Because I don't like hurting people. That,
right. And now you look back years later and you still apologizing for something from 10 years ago. And they like, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's been cool. And I'm like, but no, it still bothers me when I see you. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah, because
I didn't have to be like that.
It hit me really, really hard when he told me he had to fast from me for 30 days. I'm like, you usually fast from bad stuff. I'm like, oh my God, I hurt this man so bad. I am so sorry.
Let me tell you, one of my, I have recently, I was talking to my parents recently and I had shared this with them too. One of my good girlfriends told me, maybe like a couple years ago, she was just like in general conversation. No, it wasn't general conversation. It was us talking about something and me acting like I didn't do nothing wrong when I was wrong in that particular situation. But she was like, Shay, everybody is the victim in some, is the villain in someone's story.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped and she's like, no matter how great we think we are or how much people have done to us, mm-hmm. we're all the villain in somebody's story.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've had to fast from people. I've had to go to therapy from people for years to think that there's not one person out here who we've caused that same amount of pain.
Yep.
It's crazy. Yeah. But when you think about it, it really does make you move differently.
Absolutely.
It definitely makes you move differently. And so then you were that villain for him.
You understand the karma that you get behind it because it's coming. It's coming.
Wow. So that was your one regret. Mm-hmm. So we had this tumultuous marriage, but you were 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I got 19-year-old daughters. They babies, y'all kids. I wish one of them would. And if y'all watching, I wish you would come to me and tell me you about to get married. I laugh. First of all, the first thing,
you know what?
You know me. I'm going to start laughing.
Right.
And when I see you trying to even attempt to move your stuff out of my house, we got a problem.
Right.
But you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
To go through all that, to put that trauma on top of the trauma that you had already endured just growing up, and then to carry that. Now you're, like you said, you're in the military. You have a certain way of thinking, a certain way of moving. You're trying different relationships, but I ain't never trying to repeat what I just went through. Uh-uh. So now I don't trust anyone. Now I'm never going to be completely open to anyone. Now, for real, I'm just going to move how y'all move, because now my thought process is y'all ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to move like y'all. Now we're looking at 25 years later, mm-hmm. probably a little bit more than 25 years later. And what is your outlook now on relationships, on getting married again? On just, and do you feel that the way that you feel and look at it still stems from that 19-year-old girl being in that situation?
Well, I first and foremost, I never wanted to be married. That was never, not that I never wanted to be married. I never thought about it. I never even considered it. Like, growing up, I was always in survival mode. So marriage wasn't even
especially not at 19
at all. But now, no, I have, I don't want to mess up my blessings, but I really don't desire to be married. I don't even want to say if it happens, it happens, because I just don't. I don't know what God has in store for me. Me personally, I don't think, I think I'm healed mm-hmm. in certain areas. I think I got a lot more healing to do, but marriage is a stretch for me. I don't know if I could think of the benefits that it would give me. I don't know. Maybe there is some that I'm overlooking, but I would definitely love to be in a long-term committed relationship mm-hmm. With somebody that I can grow old with. I don't think I need the legal paperwork as far as the license. I think I can be fine with the power of attorney and some wills and stuff like that. But I'm terrified to be married.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's real. And it can be a terrifying thing.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's based off of how I see men move. Like mm-hmm. I have so many married men in my inbox and my DMs. It's disgusting. And I'm like, you've seen half the stuff. It's just ridiculous. People texting me and I'm like, look, I'm about to call your wife. Like, I don't even play these kind of games.
I'm about to send her these screenshots. Yeah. Because
I'm in the text like, yo, ma'am, it ain't me. It's him. Like, no, I don't want nobody husband.
It's me.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. Just the way that men move, it scares me.
I mean, it's a scary world out here. And I'm grateful to not be on the dating scene anymore. I'm grateful to have a decent husband. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's no buts because I have a great husband.
Right.
But I just get it. Yeah. I completely get what you're saying. And there was definitely growth that had to be done on my end as well as his end for us to even get to mm-hmm. get to where we are. So it's definitely worked. Do I think it's beneficial? Absolutely. I think my marriage is wonderful. I think my husband is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get on each other's nerves. it is what it is. Yeah. You don't even have to be married to get on people's nerves.
Right.
So, but my question is, but like you said, you don't know what God has planned.
No.
So are you opposed to God sending you a husband?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm.
No. And I think, you know, my last relationship was so horrible. Or whatever you want to call it that I was in. So it's frightening because I really didn't realize that I was dealing with a fraud. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know. I didn't know that I was really just getting played and getting used. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because I'm like, I'm really genuine in everything that I do. I'm not malicious about anything. I don't want to hurt. I'm an empath, so I don't want to hurt anybody. I feel everything people feel. I'm a real sensitive person, despite mm-hmm. what people think.
Right.
I am. I'm real sensitive. And that was the closest that I would have considered. Cause I was accepting a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. And that people was like, bitch, what's wrong with you? Why would you do that? Like Fred over there calling me insubordinate, telling me I'm acting like I'm a officer doing fraternization with the enlisted. Everybody was just telling me things and I still was willing to fight, mm-hmm. not knowing I was fighting by myself. Mm-hmm. So it's that right there, because that relationship, I went into it and I was like, I'm not going to treat this guy like I treat all the other mm-hmm. guys. I'm not going to be vicious. I'm not going to be mean. I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a try.
And that was the one that you should have treated.
Oh my God.
Like everyone else.
Of all the people.
Listen, that's how it turns out a lot. That's how it turns out. You finally decide to let your guard down and let yep. somebody in, and it's definitely a serpent.
Yeah. So, yep. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about that. I want to pivot because I don't want to get off of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hold off on what actually my next question was. But let's talk about that. We don't have to go super deep, mm-hmm. Although the show is about healing. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that from this and from you giving your testimony and talking about you, that some healing comes, if not just for you, for one of your followers who may be going through mm-hmm. any of the things that you've been through. Let's dive into a brief overview of your last relationship and how that makes you feel now towards relationships. How long was the relationship? What actually happened? You said, you mentioned you realized you were dealing with the fraud.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find that out? Were there any red flags that you ignored? You said there were so many people telling you so many different things or just trying to knock some sense into your head.
Mm-hmm.
But when we love, we love. Yeah. And we're going to learn when we're going to learn. And that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that's just what it's going to be. So, but my goal is if there's someone else that can be reached or that can be helped that's mm-hmm. going through something similar to what you just came out of and what you're still working on healing from. What are red flags? How long did it take for you to realize, okay, this isn't for me? Mm-hmm. What was a final straw for you to say, yeah, I'm done. And God, I need you to get me out of this. How did you get out of it?
Yeah.
What was it?
Well, it was a 5-year relationship. Like I keep saying, if that's what you want to call it. It was so many red flags. So many red flags. And that's why to this day, my thing is it the first red flag, there's no more. I'm not letting the second, third. The first one is the first one you need to see it and run. The first red flag was such a huge red flag that I feel stupid even telling people. So I'll tell a story quickly. I recently got hired at Bank of America. I had to go to another building. They sent me in an Uber. Couldn't figure out what was going on in that building, so they told me to go to lunch. I go to lunch. I had to call a Lyft. So I call a Lyft. I get in the Lyft. The Lyft driver starts playing some music, and I'm like, what, how you know that? Like, how do you know this artist? And the driver's like, oh, that's my boyfriend. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because he's my boyfriend too. Yeah, so I get in the Lyft with the guy I'm dealing with, baby's mom. So, yeah, that was the first
red flag. So did y'all have a conversation about the fact that he's both of y'all boyfriend?
Yeah, her next response, well, I asked her, I said, oh, so you're so-and-so's mom? So she was pissed because she like, how the fuck you know my son's name? And
So they had a kid together. So she was the mother of
one of his kids.
One of his kids. Yeah. You mentioned her son by name.
Yeah.
So now she knows you definitely ain't lying.
Yeah.
Cause you know my child's name.
Yeah. And she was like, I told him that I don't have to go looking for nothing. God gonna always reveal it to me. So I call him while I'm sitting in the Lyft. He answered the phone. I said, hey, guess who I'm in the car with? I'm in the car with your girlfriend. He didn't say a word. He's in the middle of this, he's texting her. She was like, yeah, he's texting me now, asking me what I got going on. I said, yeah, because you know I'm in the car. He's trying to figure out if I'm lying. Yeah, so that was the first red flag.
And how long had you guys been dating or in a relationship before this incident?
Probably like 3 months, 3 or 4 months, something like that.
What made you at that moment not be like, it's only been 3 months?
I actually did say that. Okay. I told her, I said, you don't have to worry about me. I said, I don't even do this. Like, I'm good. Like, you can have them. I'm not doing this. Then, of course, he comes crying and begging.
Crying after 3 months?
I finally found the person for me, blah, 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 and I'm going to mess it up. And yeah, so that was the first red flag.
Okay.
That I ignored. Yeah. And there was a lot of other ones after that. And I don't know. I think in my mind, I felt like I deserved it because of how I treated the last guy.
Wow.
That's how I felt like I deserved it. Yeah.
Wow. That's real.
Yep.
That's real. Sometimes we will deal with things feeling like it's our karma.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like God work like that.
No.
God's not a cruel God.
Because it started getting so bad. The level of, like, I never dealt with a real narcissist before. I hear people say the word all the time, but I had no clue what that really meant.
Mm.
But the level of mental gymnastics, the emotional draining, the cycles of mental abuse, it was over and over and over and over. It was just like, he would give me crumbs and then I would think something's good. And then he would give me a little more crumbs and then he would treat me like shit.
Mm.
He would say the most disgusting, degrading, demeaning things to me and try to make me feel like I was less than what I am. Treating me like pure shit. And I still would just take it. I would cut him off for some months and then I'll go back. And it was just, I would thank God I had friends like you, Fred, my homegirl April. But then I started to realize he was trying to isolate me. And I didn't understand, like, he don't want me to go here. He don't want me to do this. He don't want me to talk to this person. He don't want me. Why is he trying to, like, what is this?
Wow.
Yeah. So
if he gets you in isolation, then he doesn't have to worry about you speaking to anyone else that's going to kind of try to reel you back in.
Yeah.
Or at least just kind of give you a different perspective. Yeah. Or, girl, what you doing?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we all know that when we're in something, we can't see from the outside.
Looking. No.
When you are the one that is in it, you do not see what everyone else sees. Yeah. Everyone else from the outside in can see a picture clear. You're a little too close to the screen. It's never going to be clear.
Yeah.
So.
And the thing that it was a couple things that woke me up. And this is weird to say this, because why wouldn't I look at myself the way that I look at my friends? So one thing was something you said to me. And it still rings in my head all the time. Wow. You said, I wish you could see you like I see you. Mm. And that, I think at that moment, I was at my lowest with him. Like, I can't take no more. My grandma just died. He's treating me like pure shit. And I don't understand. Like, what did I do to deserve this? Damn. Like, and then you said that to me, but it was something else you wouldn't let up. You would not let me settle. You was like, no, nope. No, no. And you kept reminding me all the things that he was saying, all the things he said to me. You ran them down, ran them down. And the final straw was when he lied on you. I couldn't imagine that somebody would do my friend like that. But how could I not see him do me like that?
Mm.
But when I saw what it looked like for him doing it to you, I said, oh, no. Uh-uh.
Wow.
Nope. I can't do that. No, he got to go. This is it. Because wow. Now at this point, you're just lying. You're making up stuff. You really gaslighting the fuck out of me at this point. Like, this is getting insane. Like, you just creating stories. Like, this is insane. Like, no, like, she don't bother nobody. She don't even know you. Like, nah, I got to. That was it. That was a final straw. Wow. And now I look back like I'm disgusted. I'm pissed that I wasted my time, energy. And I even allowed myself to entertain such a circus.
Listen, that right there is just a stepping stone for growth, realizing what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah.
What was I doing?
Yeah.
And it takes time. It takes time. It takes time. I mean, we're talking 5 years. It took 5 years for you to get out. If you think you're going to heal or be over it in 5 days or 5 months, then you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to take time.
Because I actually genuinely loved this person. Like, mm-hmm. I was genuine in everything that I did for him, regardless to if I could get anything back, I didn't care. I'm like, if I can help you, I'm going to help you. Mm-hmm. Even if I can help your family, I'm going to help you. And I was like, oh, that I was just really being taken advantage of.
Wow. Yeah.
But I know one thing, God don't play about his anointed at all. So yeah, that karma is real. It's real.
It is.
And another thing I learned was I will never force anything again, ever. Because once I let that go, everything start flowing to me. With like
everything immediately will start falling into place.
Yeah.
Blessings just started flowing down.
Yep.
And it's amazing how we can hold on to things and people and we do not realize that they will stop our blessings. Mm-hmm. They will stunt them. They will halt them. They will pause them because I do believe eventually we'll get them because what God has for us is always going to be for us.
Yeah.
But if you're not in position to receive it, he is not going to release it.
Nope.
And so many times we hold on to things and people and situations to where we're now not in proper alignment to be able for him to release that blessing.
Yeah.
And as soon as you removed yourself from that equation, everything just started to flow.
And he would actually show me glimpses of it too. Like every time I would like cut him off, immediately something would happen. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, it would literally every single time. Then when I would go back, it would stop. Mm-hmm. He would literally cut it right off. He was not going to allow me to be blessed while I was connected to that.
Yep.
He wasn't. Yep.
Because you know what? You would not have been able to treat the blessing how he needed you to treat it.
No.
You wouldn't have, the blessing wouldn't have been able to flourish. You wouldn't have been able to cultivate it. Yeah. Because you would have, there would have been so much distraction. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. So much distraction.
Yep.
And now,
yeah,
ain't no distractions. No. These blessings are flowing freely.
Man.
You and cultivating them and growing, and so yeah. much is happening.
Yeah.
When we just truly, and a lot of times we know God gives us all discernment. And when I'm not trying to turn this into a religious segment, but we feel it. We know when something's not right.
What?
You know when you shouldn't be in a place, if when you shouldn't be dealing with a certain person, when you shouldn't be in a certain situation. We know, mm-hmm. and we will try to fight it and twist that thing Ooh. For it to fit what we think it's supposed to fit, and it never fits.
Nope.
It's like a Rubik's cube that you just can't solve. It's never going to fit.
Nope.
Never ever going to fit until you find that right piece.
Yep.
And I am elated to see you in the space that you're in now, and to see you continue to be able to grow. And I just hope and pray that if there is someone else out there watching, that if you just like, listen, I'm stuck. I'm feeling stuck. Ooh. I just can't get out of this. I know this is crazy. I know I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. I know this and that is going on. I know this person's actions aren't matching up to their words.
Mm.
Listen, it takes a lot of strength, but you can break away.
Yes.
And when you decide to watch those blessings flow.
And it really takes a fervent prayer to break it.
I told you, you got to pray and cry to break those soul ties. You, that's it.
I
can't nobody do that but God.
Look, I was
on
like,
your
God,
knees,
I want
laying
you
prostrate.
I don't want to feel nothing. I want you to take everything away. Any feeling that I got for this person, please just take it away. I want it to vanish. I don't want to feel it ever again. And he did. I'm talking about suddenly. He did that thing so quick. And I was like, Lord, because I didn't want to suffer. Just thank you. I just thank you, because I don't even know how last year to now is such a different feeling. It's such a different feeling. I feel free. I feel like a black cloud has been lifted off of me. I just feel like I'm not like.
I'm thinking about last year this time, your birthday around this time. Yeah, your birthday last year. Okay.
Yeah. So it's just freeing. And I'm so grateful for going through it, because had I not gone through it, I wouldn't have empathy for somebody else that's going to go through it. So I think it was a lesson I had to learn so I can identify it like you identified it in me. Yep.
Now I dealt with a narcissist before. Let me tell you, it's a different feeling.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of manipulation.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of mental and psychological abuse. And I had a friend that was able to identify with me, and she would tell me before I had gone through what I went through, she would tell me things that she was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, yeah, she's exaggerating. Mm. It can't be that deep. There's no way this person can do all that and you just stick around.
Right.
And for years, she was in a marriage dealing with this kind of stuff for years. And I just would be like, it's no way, or it couldn't be me. And then you fall into it, not even realizing what you're getting into, because that love bombing in the beginning ain't no joke. And you thinking everything's great, and you realizing, wait, something's not right.
Yeah.
Something's not right.
Yeah.
Like, something's really not right. So to be able to identify and help somebody else out of that is a true blessing. But it takes for you to be able to see that, for you to really go through it, because it's not like a normal breakup.
Yeah.
It's not like normal abuse or normal manipulation.
No, I really never understood it. And going through it, it's just like the level of my self-esteem was so low. I felt so like worthless. Mm-hmm. I felt worthless. I felt like, I'm like, wait a minute, maybe I'm not. Like, you got me second guessing myself.
Who you
like,
are.
Yeah.
You forget who you are and whose you are.
Yep.
And
it's demonic for real, to be honest with you. It's really demonic. And it was some things that I probably should have really ran from, because I was raised in the church, that I should have been like,
No. I already know that's not right.
Yeah, like, what? No. Yeah, it was a lot of things. God gave me so many signs, and I didn't listen. What they say, obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah. Oh, I should have listened.
So how does, so at this moment, right now, today, not necessarily speaking about marriage or anything like that, mm-hmm. how do you feel about relationships? Wait, I don't even want to ask it like that. Let's talk about not, are you dating? Are you in a relationship? And do you feel like you're even ready for that? Because we're talking about some real stuff here, mm-hmm. and we're not talking about this breakup being a year ago. We're not even necessarily really talking about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. So where are you right now? How are you feeling? Are you ready? Are you on the dating scene? Do you got a good boo? Do you got a couple boos? We're like, what's going on? What we doing?
I'm dating. Taking my time.
Yes.
I'm taking my time, but I like dating. I enjoy male company. Mm-hmm. Not all the time though. I'm coming over here every day.
Listen, she likes her space. I do like not be space. Clingy.
Yeah, please don't be clingy. But I've been on some dates. I've been on some dates and it was effortless. I love it. I didn't have to
love it.
Pay. I didn't have to I didn't have to beg. Mm-hmm. It was simple. It was easy. I have fun. About being in a relationship right now, I'm open to it. I think that there is one particular person that I would like to be in a committed relationship with. Fred over there always talking about when me and him are around each other, how the chemistry is ridiculous. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe he's watching. Maybe he's not. I don't know. But he's tall, dark, and handsome.
I cannot get away from it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So kicking out of relationship, military, upbringing, let's talk about something. I wanted to focus on a whole portion of this, so I didn't really dive too deep into it, but let's talk about one of the most important facets of your life, if not the number one most important facet, and that's being a mother.
Yes.
Being a mom. Let's talk about, tell us about your kids, and I want you to tell us about your grandbaby too, your new grandbaby.
My Nova girl.
But we gonna save a whole little spotlight for Princess Nova. So tell us about your kids, their ages, how you have previously and currently juggle motherhood, your career, your kids, their extracurricular activities. How are you doing it all?
Okay, so my children, I have two. My daughter is 27 and my son will be 15 on October 3rd. Shout out to my son. He's at the football game right now. My daughter saved my life. I don't know if I would have made it at all without having her. So God be knowing what he's doing. Yeah. It was really hard. I got pregnant when I was 17 with her, had her at 18. Her dad pretty much abandoned us. And no, he's not black. sorry. Because they be giving black men a hard time.
And it's not just black ones.
Right. But because his dad threatened him when I got pregnant with my daughter, and his dad told him that he wasn't going to pay for his college. He was going to take his car if he took care of my baby because I'm black.
That's what I wanted you to say.
Yeah, because I'm black and he was Puerto Rican, Italian, and Indian, whatever that is. So
a bunch of other minorities.
Right. Yeah, so my daughter, he saw her when she was 2 weeks old and then didn't see her again until she was five. And then I don't know the next time he saw her. Mm-hmm. My daughter's amazing. She's a registered nurse. She lives in Georgia. She's just an all-around great person. Mm-hmm. She has a big heart. And one thing she did, she held my feet to the fire recently. Because I was blaming her dad for everything. I didn't know about my part that I played in her upbringing and hurting her. And as a kid, you know, they don't understand. She's a military brat. Mm-hmm. So she didn't understand when I had to leave her to deploy or go other places. She didn't understand why she couldn't come with me. And she also didn't understand why she couldn't go with my family. Mm-hmm. And she did stay with my mom when I first joined the military. And there were some things that happened that I was like, nah, she can't. You got to take her. So my godchildren's, I have twin godbabies from the military. Their mom and dad were military. Well, their dad was military. Met them in my first base. Mm-hmm. So that's who I trusted her to be with when I had to leave. So she told me she felt like I didn't love her. She felt like I abandoned her. She just didn't feel like she was loved because she didn't have no family. So I just wanted her to get out whatever she needed to get out, because I saw her going down this path with these men and just picking the wrong guys and just not loving herself the way she should, drugs, alcohol, all that stuff. So I was like, okay, what is it? What's going on? We went to counseling together to try to break this thing down and figure it out. And now she is so amazing. She's so amazing. She's a great mom. She got a great, great, great boyfriend. Shout out to DeAndre. He is amazing. And he treats her and my grandbaby so well. So like, I can't do nothing but thank God for that. And my son, Lord help us. The boy is a character child. My son came when my daughter was almost 13. Many of y'all have seen me and his dad on other podcasts together. Child. My son dad is great. He's supportive. Now that I'm not in that relationship, not that he had a problem with me being in a relationship. He, like everybody else, just didn't think it was a good fit. But now me and him are, I think we're closer. I think we're more open. I think we're more better co-parents now. And he's just really good. Like having that, I wasn't used to having backup. I can call your dad. Get your son. Like I didn't have that with my daughter. So having a teammate that I can call, because I don't speak the boy language. I don't understand what boys are supposed to be doing. I've done my nurturing part. You got to get your son. I don't know what to do with this. So my son having that role model and having an active dad that way is such a blessing. He's his dad's only child. He had him late in life. So he gets to really cultivate these things as a parent. And my son really, really, really respects his dad. So it's just awesome to have that. And having kids that far apart, God knew what he was doing, because I can't do two kids at the same time. I don't have that kind of patience.
So, no, that's right.
Yeah, my son, when I found out I was pregnant with him, it was devastating. I was devastated. I don't know if my supervisor, her name was Heather Mahold. I remember these names crazy. She sat at my desk with me every day for 3 months while I cried. Because I was like, how am I going to tell people I have more than one kid? I got to say kids.
Oh my gosh.
So devastated. What? Yeah, it was bad.
Girl.
Yeah. But I live with him and me and his dad. Ooh, that was a lot.
It didn't work.
No.
Better friends.
Yes. Got That's it. My dog. That's my dog. Yeah.
Got it. So what does he have going on? Your son, I know he plays sports.
Yes.
And he's involved in a lot. How do you juggle his schedule, Oof. His sports?
That boy.
Around so many things that you have going on.
Yeah, he's in football season right now. He plays football, he plays basketball, he runs track. He always got plans every weekend, like he got money or a car. One thing about my son, he's really independent. So he knows how busy I am. So he'll try to make sure that he has rides to certain places so he doesn't have to bother me. So he does help me out with that. But most of the stuff that I do is from home. So it's kind of a lot easier for me. I work from home. I train people from home because I'm a fitness coach. Everything I do is pretty much from home. So it's easy for me to navigate with him.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I want to dive into baby Nova.
Yeah.
We need to discuss how it feels to be a grandmother.
I love
how
it.
How does that feel?
I love it. I love it. And I'm so mad I don't get to see her more than as often as I want to. But my daughter's doing such a great job with her. She's a spoiled little brat. She's a good baby, though. But I get to be like a real grandma. I play with you and send you home. Like, you got to go.
I don't have to raise you.
I'm going to sleep. Yeah, because I think it's a big difference. Like, my daughter has her boyfriend with her. So they are a team. I don't have to intervene in that. Back in the day, you know,
grandma's raising the baby.
Yeah. So I don't have a say so in all that stuff. They make their decision. That's their baby. I get to play with the baby and she get to go home. So because grandma got shit to do. I got to be in these streets, honey.
I cannot.
Yes, I can't be at the house with no moo moo on with the, them house shoes flying across the floor
with the grease popping in the kitchen because you're frying chicken.
But yeah, being a grandma is nothing like what I expected it to be, and that's only because of what I was raised to see. So being a grandma with a healthy relationship with the mom and dad, and I don't have to like intervene and actually raise a child. Oh, I'm good. I love it, y'all.
Yes. I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. And she's so cute.
She'll be just 6 months like her this mother. Month.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just like her mother. They have the exact same face.
Yes.
So drawing us towards the end, I want to talk about what you currently have going on. Let's talk about your acting. Let's talk about the podcast, the one we're on right now, future stuff. And something I also want you to touch on is I'm sure a lot of people have asked, a lot of the guests that you have on your show are from the music industry or the entertainment industry. So I'm sure a lot of your followers are interested in knowing what your experience is in the entertainment and music industry and how you came about even being in it at all and learning the things that you've learned that makes you feel that you're qualified to interview these entertainment guests.
Okay, Lord, the industry. Lord, bless the baby oil.
Yes. Johnson & Johnson stock is way up, honey.
So I got into the industry from my ex. He was I ain't gonna talk about him. Yeah, so that's how I got introduced to the industry. I traveled all over. We were on tour with Trina, Anthony Hamilton, like all these different artists getting into these rooms and talking to these different people. And of course, developing relationships with people and meeting them, doing video shoots, all that stuff. So that's how I kind of got those connections with people. You know, you got to pay to play. So I was paying a lot of money. I wish I can get it back. But I mean, I did. I learned a lot. And of course, growing up in the church helps too. Being in the choir, we were in a very strict choir too. Our choir director was very strict. So our ear is a little different than,
I
most
can
people.
Hear an off note from around the corner. I can, child.
So I think that plays a part too, because I've always been very keen to what a good ear is when it comes to music. But the business part of it is the most important part. So I'm a project manager by trade, IT project manager, and that goes across. I can do that. I can implement that in everything. And being in the industry and learning all, because there's so many different processes and platforms and all this stuff that you got to learn so you can get your money and all that stuff. So learning that kind of stuff, those things that my ex did show me how to do, we learned along the way, you know, trial and error. And then the people that I interview, most of them, a lot, it's crazy that people, of course, they know them in Charlotte. Most of people know them in Charlotte, but they're a really big deal. They're like multi-platinum artists and producers and stuff like that, and videographers that are like really, really big deals. And just them still wanting to help me out. Like, oh, I'll come on the show. I'll help you, you know, with the podcast, because it's not easy having a podcast. Everybody thinks it's easy to do this. They think
it is not.
I'm like, this is a whole
especially
production.
Not on this level. So let's be clear that there's levels to this. There's levels to everything. And a lot of times people don't realize, it's like, oh, I can do that. Oh, I could sit there. Oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
So are we talking about you hosting your podcast in your bathroom?
Right.
Or are we talking about you actually having a whole space? Same thing with videography. Same thing with, oh, I can do that. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about you shooting this on your iPhone 12? Or are we talking about you really having a whole crew? So there's definitely levels. So when you want to do it on this level, it's not easy at all.
No. And I think it's funny because I think people assume that I'm so accessible because I'm just open. Like I try to be as open as possible. And they look at things that I do as, I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to just do it. Okay. Well, you know, you're going to be.
Let me know how that goes for you.
You're going to be doing a lot of shit for a long time without getting no money. Yep. That's the number one thing. A lot of people can't do that. And if you don't have the luxury to do that, you're going to tap out anyway. It's not, you're not going to do it for long. So don't even waste your time. But when you're doing something like this, where you're number one interviewing high level people, you got to be prepared. And preparing for a show is not that easy. Like you got to know, I pray. I'm like, Lord, I need you to drop it to me. I don't know what to ask. I don't know what questions. I need to just give it to me because I don't know. And he literally I'll just come up with stuff and I'll just start writing it out. Because I'm like, this is like a production. I can't be up here sounding crazy, mm-hmm. asking the most off the wall questions. Right. And it has to flow too.
Exactly.
It has to flow. So yeah, the podcasting space is very hard. It's very expensive. Can I get my money back from the music industry? Anyway, if I could get that money back, I would be real good. That's a lot of money.
I'm not doing this with you.
But yeah, and then the acting. Mm-hmm. That's if I could do anything for the rest of my life, that I would choose that.
Act.
I would choose acting. I really love acting. I got into acting because one of my pictures from my body paint picture mm-hmm. went viral. And this guy reached out to me. Shut up, Trey. This guy reached out to me and was like, you need to be in movies. You need to take acting classes. I'm like, okay, sure. So I started taking acting classes. And that's how I met so many people. That's how we came up. That's how I came up with my short film for my birthday. And just connecting the dots. And God just be showing out.
All the time. He will show up and show out. So you just mentioned something that I was trying to hold and save for my grand finale outro. So anyone that knows you or that has been following you will know for at least like the last 5 years, you have done some type of phenomenal photo shoot for your birthday.
Yeah.
Like these photo shoots are fire. If you have never seen them, scroll down her Instagram, scroll down her Facebook. Every year, the end of September, around the same time, because that is her birthday, there's going to be some bomb photo mm-hmm. shoot. And you are going to be like, what? Who even thinks of that?
Yeah.
But this year, I want to talk about this year because yeah. I specifically remember you saying, I don't know what I'm going to do this year. What photo shoots can top everything else I've done?
Yeah.
And you decided, I'm not even going to do a photo shoot. I'm going to do a short film.
Yep.
So let's talk about this short film. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about... I just want you to give a brief description of it. Mm-hmm. And then I definitely need you to talk about the short film premiere that yeah. is going down this weekend in Atlanta for your birthday. And it will be lit.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. So the short film, the premise of it, it's about a woman who has been traumatized mm-hmm. by her dad, all men that she's always come in contact with, kind of like my life. She's been traumatized by these men and she's just sick of them taking advantage of her. So she turns the tables on them and she kind of takes on the role of Christian Grey in 50 Shades of Grey. So it's a short film and I have my lead co-star, Stevie Bags Jr. If you don't know who Stevie Bags Jr. is, Google him. He's been on the Oval, Tyler Perry's The Oval. He's Officer Hardy, the Red Dog in BMF. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a pretty amazing guy. He had his own dating show. He was a NFL player. So he was amazing. He was so gracious to come and be my co-star. And I appreciate him for that because that was God sent.
Mm-hmm.
That was God sent. And then my script writer, Selena Austin, she allowed her sons to be in my film as well. One of her sons is Kevin from BMF. So it was just an amazing production. The Fly family, freaking amazing videographers, amazing. They are the video directors for all of the baby's videos. So they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They put together an amazing product. We have been submitted to, I think, 5 or 6 film festivals. One of them, we've already been nominated for 5 awards. We're just waiting to see if we won. Hopefully we'll find out next week. We're submitted to Cannes, to Sundance, yes. like some big film festivals. So we're excited about it. And of course, this Saturday, we're going to do the premiere in Atlanta, Highness Cuisine Restaurant. Shout out to my cousin LJ, who helped me coordinate this whole event. It has been tedious.
Yes, LJ.
But it's a red carpet event, formal event. Everything is free once you pay your $50 for your ticket. and you come in there. We got the whole, like, we're going to have it. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy.
Excited. My videographer coming to take pictures and videos of the whole event to capture it. I got my baker coming to bring my cake. I got my homegirl, Shamika. Her family owns a popcorn company. And Shamika, forgive me for not remembering the name, but they're sponsoring popcorn for the event. So it's going to be pretty dope.
Cannot wait.
It's going to be pretty dope.
So excited.
Yes.
So excited. So,
Oh, wait. And there is a photo shoot involved in this. So on the red carpet, you will get to see the photos from this shoot because we did do a photo shoot as well.
Yes. always something extra being thrown in. I can't wait for the surprise. So anything else that you'd like to tell everybody before we wind up, before we close it out? Anything else that you have going on in the future?
I will be on a panel in Atlanta on October 20th. It's called Bounce Back Book Relaunch. My friend Jay, they call him 4G Rap. He just launched his book, and it's 22 chapters of the book, and he's doing a relaunch of all 22 chapters. I'm going to be the resident therapist, since I have a master's degree in psychology and counseling, and podcaster on the panel. And he's also going to have, I can't think of the guy's name on BMF. He got the long locks in his hair.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I
forgot his name.
The one that run the project.
Yeah. He's going to be on the panel with me as well. So we're going to be talking about the first three chapters of his book. And it's a very deep book about his trauma. Yeah. And it's going to be awesome. So I can't wait for that. That's October 20th. And then October, I think 13th, I'll be in Augusta. We're going to do. So I have another short film that I'm in called My Brother's Reaper. Mm-hmm. I was the lead actress in that. And we've been submitted for some short films. And we just got accepted to one in Atlanta, the Peachtree International Festival, something like that. It's next month. That's in November. But we're going to go to Augusta. And the director wants to do like a sit down interview of all the cast
awesome.
To talk about the film. So yeah, that film is pretty dope. It's about a guy who got killed by a cop. His brother got killed by a cop, and he kidnaps the cop.
Mm.
And I'm trying, he's my husband, and I'm trying to get him to release the damn cop. He's done tortured the damn man. Yeah, it's a pretty dope film too.
Well, I am so excited and so blessed to see everything that you have going on. And I'm so glad again. I appreciate you. I'm honored that you asked me, picked me to come here and take over your show for the night and question you and really help your followers be able to see who you truly are behind the microphone. So, I mean, you can go ahead and take us out of here.
I appreciate you for being willing to come on. Because I only trusted you to do this. I don't think anybody else could have done it. So I appreciate that. And just always being a safe space for me. And no matter what anybody ever said, I never questioned you ever. Because I knew that you would never be what they were saying that you were. So I appreciate you for constantly pouring into me and not giving up on me. So thank you so much.
Oh, I love you too, girl.
Yes, I love you, love you, love you. And y'all know what to do. Y'all got to hit that notification bell. You got to subscribe to the channel. You need to tell your people about the podcast. You need to share. You need to like. You need to comment. I need to see y'all face in the place on Saturday. Don't come up in there without no ticket if I ain't told you I need no ticket. No, I'm joking. If you can't afford a ticket, hit me up. I got you. If you want to come and you can't afford a ticket, holla at your girl. But we'll see y'all next week. Same place, same time. Every week, the Core Queen Podcast. If you want to be a guest, let me know. If you want to be a sponsor, if you want to run some ads, check me out. Let me know. I got you. We gonna hook y'all up. We out, y'all.
Tell me, D, what exactly are you looking for?
I've always been drawn to strong men. Men who know what they want and aren't afraid to take control. But also aren't afraid of a woman's strength and accepts her for who she truly is.
I like that. But do you think that you can handle a man?
Let's get through the first date first.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.